Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible.
And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with Be Doers of the Word, as we pick up in Matthew chapter 23, verse 1. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
Matthew's Gospel 23, Jesus has been at the temple, and he was challenged as to his authority by the priest, and then he was asked questions by the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and then Jesus finally asked them a question, what do you think of Christ, whose son is he? And when they said, the son of David, he said, how can he be the son of David when David by the Spirit called him Lord? And no father would ever call his son Lord. That's just so totally against the culture, just not done. So they couldn't answer him, and neither did they dare ask him any more questions after that. Now, still there in the temple, as we go into chapter 23, we are still there within the temple precincts. Then Jesus turns from this questions and counter questions with the scribes and Pharisees, and he turns to the multitude that is gathered around him and to his disciples that are there. And the first part, the first 12 verses of chapter 23 are addressed to his disciples and to the assembled multitude. And then beginning with verse 13, he turns to the scribes and the Pharisees and really begins to lay a heavy one on them. But first of all, notice Jesus then spake to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, or in Moses' chair. The Greek word is cathedra, which is sort of a school. And you hear of a person who chairs the department of philosophy and all. And so it is the sitting there as a teacher, as a lecturer in the area of Moses. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you to observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. Now, Jesus had just given a parable that they had, the scribes and Pharisees had recognized was against them. He asked them, and they caught themselves, or he caught them, and they realized that they were trapped by it. He had said to them, there was a certain father who had two sons, and to the first he said, go out in the field and work for me. And the son said, okay, Dad, I'll be glad to go. The first one, he said, no, I won't go. And then later on, he repented and went. The second one said, yeah, I'll go, but he never went. Now, Jesus said, which one really did the will of his father? And they said, well, the one that went out. And Jesus said, that's right. Now, Jesus is, you see, saying here, look, they say, but they don't do. Now, you observe to do the things that they tell you to do, but don't follow their works, because they say things, but yet they themselves don't do them. The New Testament is quite emphatic in the fact that we are to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. Paul, as he was writing his epistle to the Romans, spoke of how that the Jews so often felt that they were justified just because they had the law, not because they were doing it, but because they had it. They felt that they were justified. It's just like so many people feel that they're Christians just because they live in the United States, not because they are actively following Jesus Christ, but after all, I live in a Christian nation. But Jesus said, look, these men are saying it, but they're not doing it. So follow what they say, but don't follow their works. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and they lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move one of them with their little fingers. Now, it is interesting as you go over to the Holy Land and see the laborers and the heavy burdens that they bind and lay on these laborers' shoulders. It's unreal. We have some fascinating pictures that look like a big bundle of sticks and all walking down the road. I mean, all you can see are the feet underneath, but these guys are so laden down. They've bound so many sticks and all together and put them on these guys' shoulders that all you can see are the feet underneath, and it looks like sticks are walking. And so it was a picture that was very common to the people over there. The little donkeys, they really load those little donkeys down. It looks like sometimes you have four legs under the sticks walking or under this pile of sheaves or whatever. And they would bind these heavy, heavy burdens, Jesus said, and then they lay them on men's shoulders, grievous to be borne. Now he is, of course, speaking figuratively. They could see the figure in their mind. They had seen these fellows just loaded down with loads that, I mean, you're just straining to try and carry it because they would lay so much on you. And so Jesus is saying this is what the scribes and Pharisees are doing. They lay these heavy, heavy burdens upon men, yet they with themselves won't even move with one of their fingers. They won't lift anything with one of their little fingers. For all of the works that they do to be seen of men. Now, you remember the Sermon on the Mount in the 6th chapter. Jesus began by declaring, "Take heed to yourselves that you do not your righteousness before men to be seen of men, for verily I say unto you, you have your reward." And then he talked about how you gave. Don't sound the trumpet before you like the Pharisees who like to make a big to-do over what they give so all men can see what they're giving. But when you give, do it in secret. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. When you pray, don't be like the Pharisees and all who love to stand on the street corners that they might be seen of men. But go in your closet, shut the door. When you fast, don't be like the Pharisees who go around with these long faces and they look so gaunt and all. But anoint your face and all that you don't appear unto men to fast. Now, Jesus is here declaring again the very same thing, that the Pharisees and the scribes, their whole religion was an external and their whole purpose and motive was that men might see them and look up to them as spiritual leaders. And so the very clothes they wore, the very affectations that they developed were to impress people with how spiritual and how righteous they were, but it was all an outward show, but inwardly there was nothing there. Be careful that you don't get caught in a religious sham where it is just an all outward demonstration and in your mind you're thinking, I hope everybody sees me, how righteous I am. I'll go up on my tiptoes just in case, you know. And the whole idea is to affect men with how spiritual and how righteous I am. Some fellow came up to me Thursday night after service and said, I stood up tonight while they were singing and I was worshiping the Lord and someone came up and told me to sit down. And I was just there worshiping the Lord. I said, well, whoever told you to sit down told you right. I said, if everybody else is sitting down and you are standing, then all you are doing is drawing attention to you. We're not here to be attracted to you. We're here to be attracted to Jesus Christ. Now, you've got to be careful that in your worship of the Lord, that in your service to the Lord, that you don't get caught in the trap of doing things so as to draw attention to yourself. Whatever you do in your worship or in your service, if the net effect is drawing attention to you, and this is, you know, what's there within your heart, you're in the same category as the scribes and Pharisees. We've got to be very careful of this. You see, my old nature is totally corrupt. So much so that even when I am engaged in my spiritual activities, my old flesh would still like to do things in such a way that everybody will know how spiritual I am. I would like people to know just how deeply committed my life is to God. How much time I devote myself into just seeking the Lord and His Word. In fact, in reality, I want people to think that I do that more than I really do. And so often, I try to give an impression that I am more spiritual than I really am, that I'm more deeply committed than I really am, that I have a greater prayer life than I really do. But whenever I try to give that impression to people, I am a hypocrite. I'm guilty of hypocrisy. I'm seeking to impress people. I should be interested only in impressing God with my righteous living, and I know that God can't be impressed. But I should only be thinking of God when I am in worship, when I am in prayer, when I'm giving. I should never be doing it for the effect that I can create the mind of man, but I should always just be doing as unto the Lord in that secret place of fellowship and communion. Now, Jesus said, "For all of their works they do to be seen of men, and they make broad their phylacteries." Now, the phylactery was the little box that they would bind on their wrist and bind on their forehead. And they were told under the law that they were to take and bind the law of God to the frontlets and to their hands and so forth. And so there are these little leather boxes. And every day when they go to pray, except the Sabbath day, because on the Sabbath day you're not to bind or you're not to bear any burdens and so forth, so they don't do it on the Sabbath day. But every day as they go to prayer, they go through this ritual of, first of all, binding their arm and tying this little box on their arm. Now, in this little box on the wrist, there is one chamber in the little box, and it has four passages of Scripture from the Old Testament and little scrolls in this little leather box on their hand. The one on their forehead, and they bind another leather tong around their forehead in this little leather box on their forehead, and in that there are four compartments in these same four passages on little scrolls, only one little scroll in each four compartments. Now, these Pharisees, they would get big boxes, broaden their phylacteries, so everybody can see, you know, man, I really, you know, heavy-duty prayer, because look, you know, at the big box that I've got here, you know. And so they would broaden their phylacteries, and of course the whole idea was people might observe them and see them. And then, of course, they enlarged the borders of their garment, or these little tassels that they would put on their garments. And again, they were to be more or less symbols. There was that law in the Old Testament of these fringes on their garments that they were to make. And so they would enlarge these fringes. Now, today they still have the fringes, but they put them on the prayer shawls that they wear. And of course, going to the western wall of the temple is always an interesting experience as you see them come up and they start binding the phylacteries, and they take their prayer shawls with the fringes even to the present day and wrap them around in a traditional way, and then they'll go up and begin to read their prayers before the wall, and it's quite a fascinating scene to watch. And so Jesus is saying, though, that with them, they were doing it in such a way as to draw attention to themselves, that they might appear before men to be holy or righteous. Now, they loved the uppermost rooms at the feast and the chief seats in the synagogue. The chief seats were down in the front, but they were facing the congregation so that the whole congregation can see me going through my little, you know, prayers and all, and the whole congregation can see how righteous I am. And they loved those chief seats in the synagogue. They loved the upper places in the feast and all. And they loved the greetings in the markets, to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi, Doctor, Doctor, Reverend. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ. And notice, all of you are brethren. Now he's talking to his disciples. He said, don't get into that spiritual hierarchy trip. You're all brothers. There's not one above the other. You're all one together. You are all brothers. Don't seek to promote yourself. Don't seek the best places. When you're bidden to a feast, he said, take the lower place. And if the host says, oh, come, sit up here, he said, then you're in good shape. But if you take the upper seat and the host says, hey, what are you doing up here? You belong down the other end of the table. Then it's a very embarrassing thing. So better that you take a lower seat and let them bid you higher than to take the higher seat and let them direct you lower. You're brothers. Don't try and develop a hierarchy where, oh, you know, reverend, rabbi, or whatever. And then he said, and call no man your father upon the earth. For one is your father, which is in heaven. So the title of father was prohibited by Jesus. In my associations, I have become acquainted and friends of many ministers within the Episcopalian Church and also within the Catholic Church. And I have extreme difficulty in knowing how to address them. Because for the life of me, I cannot call them father, so-and-so. Because Jesus said not to. And so, to me, it creates a difficult thing as to how to address them, because you're usually introduced, this is, you know, father so-and-so, and I just have a hang-up with this, but I just can't address a man father in a spiritual sense. I don't know. Do what you want, but I just have problems. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. In other words, Jesus is putting down the idea of titles. These guys loved their titles. But you know, a title really has, in effect, a separation of people and the elevation. And Jesus is really coming against this idea of the elevating of one man over another by some kind of a title. And that is why I personally disdain titles. I don't want a title. And it's interesting, the letters that I get as people are trying to tack titles onto my name. And I always know they don't know me very well. If they knew me better, they wouldn't tack a title on my name. So, Jesus is saying, hey, you're all brothers. So, hey, Brother Chuck, you know. But even that's a sort of a title. Just Chuck is good enough. Jesus said, he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Not to establish this spiritual hierarchy and, oh, you know, he's. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now, having declared that to his disciples, and these are the rules for his disciples, he now turns and addresses himself to the scribes and the Pharisees, and he has an eightfold denunciation against them, pronouncing an eightfold woe. To my disciples, don't follow their example. They say, but they don't do. They exalt themselves. They draw attention to themselves. They love to be exalted and elevated above people, but you are brothers. If you're going to be the chief, be the servant. Humble yourself and God will exalt you. But exalt yourself and God will abase you. Now, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. We sang, Jesus, what a wonder you are. You are so gentle, so pure, and so kind. And for the most part, Jesus was a very gentle person. So that when he gets to the place of these strong denunciations, you really take note. Now, if some guy has a high temper and is going around blowing off all the time, you soon get to where you don't pay any attention to him. You say, oh, he's always, you know, blown off steam. Don't worry about it, you know. But if a fellow is generally very meek and mild temperament, but suddenly he begins to really let off the steam, then you say, wow, what's going on here, you know, something really heavy. And so Jesus really came down to him. Now I'm interested in the attitude of Jesus towards out-and-out acknowledged sinners and contrast that with his attitude towards those spiritual leaders. To the woman who was taken in adultery and brought to him by the Pharisees, and said, we caught this woman in the very act of adultery, and our law says, stone her, what do you say? If she was caught in the very act, where was the man? Surely he must have been caught too. But the poor women didn't have much right in those days.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Matthew on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Matthew 23 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you. Fill your heart with love. Fill your heart with praise. Fill your heart with God's Spirit, that He might work in you, bringing you into the image of Christ, helping you to be what God wants you to be, a true representation of Him before this poor, sad, sin-cursed world. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
Gather the kids together because the Word for Today would like to present a kids' book by Pastor Chuck called The Story of the Resurrection of Jesus. Each book contains an audio CD of Pastor Chuck reading this story, featuring the voice talents of Skip Heitzig.
But I will come back again on the third day.
Greg Laurie.
It's Jesus.
Hi, Peter.
Raul Reese.
See, it's really Jesus.
Gosh.
Cheryl Broderson.
The stone was rolled away. The tomb is empty.
And so many more. It's never too early to start reading to your children timeless biblical stories taught by Pastor Chuck. To order your copy, call The Word for Today at 800-272-WORD. Or to see a sneak preview, visit us online at thewordfortoday.org, where you can order this book in print or as a digital download. Again, the number to call is 800-272-9673.